call is now being recorded.
Okay. What's going on, Dosh?
What to do, mate?
Man.
Well,
you know, the world is hearing your voice for the first time. We are recording this live. I'm on the phone with my boy, the one who I am trying to, who I am aiding in his search to find a wife.
A wife.
But we're not going to give out your name because
absolutely. We
got to keep things. There got to be some things that we got to keep close and keep special for those that make it to the next phase of this search. But I wanted to get you on the phone because, you know, ever since I wrote the post that I did on UntilIGetMarried.com, when I went live with it, what was it, Tuesday? Yesterday, actually.
It was like Tuesday night,
12 a.m. So Wednesday at 12 a.m., but like Tuesday night. And we went live with it, and, you know, there's been some positive responses that we really appreciate. You, more than me, appreciate. I can't touch them. These are all for you. But there have been, of course, some follow-up questions. Now, I thought, you know, I wrote the post on your behalf, and I was just trying to anticipate all the questions that were going to come our way. And sure enough, as many as I answered, there were still more that these women had. So, I'm going to ask you some of these questions. We're just going to wrap, you know. We go back how many years? When we meet? 2000?
11 years, man.
Yeah, 2000. 2000 at Howard. We stayed in Drew and...
Drew Hall, yeah. Third floor, baby.
Your dorm was right across the hall from my dorm. So, yeah, we know each other very well. And go very far back and have been through a lot together. So, no strangers. So, one of the first questions we were asked, I was asked, and I can't believe I didn't write this question. I should have cleared this up. But do you have any children?
Absolutely not.
Don't say, dog. You got to think of that. You know you ain't got no children. Come on, man.
I want to do like a pregnant pause.
Yeah. If you hear any, like, you know, we both in our homes. He's where he is. We're not going to disclose that location. But it's far from me, and I'm in my apartment in Harlem. So if y'all hear any background, we just chilling right now. So,
yeah.
Pardon the background noise. He lives in a place where bad signals are constant. I don't know how y'all get signals out there, but you know, whatever. Anyway, another question. When was your last relationship?
I've been dating for the past couple of years, of course. My last serious relationship ended probably, I think it was around June, July of last year, 2010.
Yep, I remember that. So you've been dating pretty much since then, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, all right, we're gonna set that aside. We're going to get back into that a little bit later. I'm going to give you some of the easier questions first. As we do have, I'm keeping this conversation at 30 minutes. We're not going to drag this on. But Do you have any pets?
Absolutely. We have a boxer.
You have a boxer?
She just turned one this month. Her name is Layla.
Okay. Layla. Like Layla Ali, a boxer.
Yeah.
Hilarious, dude. Anyway.
I never thought about that. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, family. I got a lot of questions about that. Are you close to your mom? Immediate family, the family you grew up with. I know your family, love them very much. But what's your? Give me the family breakdown. Parents are still together, correct?
Yeah, it's been probably. Well, I should know the amount of years, but it's I think 36 years, if not 35.
35, 36 years. Beautiful, beautiful. So you grew up with the two-parent household and you and siblings.
Yeah, I have one sister.
She's
33.
33. Okay, and you're close to your sister, right?
Yeah, I'm close to my sister. All my parents, we're very close, tight-knit family.
Right, very close tight-knit family. Now, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana. I tell people all the time, I know one person from Gary, Indiana. Yes, and that's you. Yes, sir. Let's see. There are some other questions. Have you gotten any questions? Have you seen any questions? Because I forwarded you all the emails.
Well, you know, the majority of there weren't really any questions. It was more descriptions of
people want to know what's your sign. I feel like girls want to know what your sign is. What's your sign?
Aquarius.
Okay, then. And let's see if I can anticipate some more questions. You don't got any dietary needs, right? You eat everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, I eat pretty much every cuisine. I try to stay away from.
Wait a minute, no, hold on, though. You got real funny on us for a while. There was a time when you was like, you were eating like a bird. I remember.
You know what though? And but that's that New England culture. But when I moved here, it's like.
Let me tell you about New England culture. That time that you made crab dip, talking about that was dinner, I could have killed you.
Hey man, look, I'm sorry, but that filled me up, player.
I was starving, and this fool gonna come out with some crab dip and crackers, talking about man, this is dinner, bro. And I was like, what? Anyway. Me and the other homie that were there, we still talk about that. But, what kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to pretty much everything. I'm a big hip-hop fan, a huge jazz fan. I'm trying to get into some classical. I listen to some smooth jazz because the jazz purist. It's hard to accept it. You know what I mean? But I do R&B. I love soul music, you know, back when men were men, sang like grown men. They knew how to, you know.
I was just talking about that the other day, man. These boys whining nowadays, singing through their nose and stuff like that. Right?
I almost broke out in an impersonation. I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? But after R. Kelly,
After R. Kelly,
post R. Kelly era, these Negroes, man, let me tell you something. That one, you remember that scene in the Five Heartbeat?
Yeah.
Thunderbird, what was his name? He had the conk, Thunderbird, and then JT came down, he grabbed the mic, right? You remember that?
Yes.
That's grown man singing right there. Look. That's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
Now, these players nowadays, man, you know, but, you know, we have another whole other conversation, man.
Right,
that wine and stuff is good for the club, but outside of that, man, I can't really.
Yeah, Anyway, dog, what are sports? You into sports? What are your teams?
Celtics is my basketball, baseball, Red Sox, football.
Okay.
I love the Chargers. That's pretty much it.
Now, football, you love the Chargers, except on Madden, you basically love the team that's rated the highest.
Nah, man, we're dude. I play with the Chargers,
dude,
faithfully. We haven't played Madden together in like 4 years. It's been,
dude, I just remember every year that we was in college and we played Madden, you would choose
the
best
team. Yeah, that was like 2001. But now
you
I'm playing with my five.
Dude, you play like
man,
John Madden is in the room. You play like John Madden is in the room. Who kicks it on 4th and 2?
Man, I want to win a game.
Man, whatever, dog. I'm still mad at you about that. Everybody knows that was so, man, that was bogus.
I want to win a game. Yeah. Come on, man. I want to win a game.
That was completely bogus, man. So, you go out to the club, right? We can get into these deeper questions because these are the questions that people really had. You know, once I revealed to the world that you were a pastor, that's when, like I said, I knew all the questions would start coming, and sure enough, they have. Now, what denomination? Can you say that? Is that
yeah,
allowed?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up Baptist.
Okay.
I'm to the heart, I'm Baptist. I love the Baptist tradition, Baptist worship, Baptist preaching. But now I'm United Methodist, primarily because, no, I just follow the opportunity where it led me, you know. And there really isn't, absolutely isn't a difference. It's just the denominational structure and organization is just a bit different, but it's all the same mission at the end of the day.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people, even before we did all this, you know, we'd be up in the club chilling, you know, drinking at the bar. What's your drink? I know you.
Oh, Jack and Coke, baby. All day.
Jack and Coke, right. So, you know, we'd be drinking at the bar, tossing them back and, you know, meet a couple ladies and then we tell them what we do and you know what I'm saying? You'd explain it and some people be like, huh? Like what's that about? And I've never really, I've always gotten really defensive about, you know, people questioning you, questioning your credibility. You know, because I know who you are. I feel like I know you. I have a good idea of your heart. You know what I mean? And if your church wasn't where it was, and you know, but when you start doing it down, allowing for people to download your things and everything, I'll definitely, you know, be tuning in and everything. I personally don't see the big deal, and I'm a man of strong faith, but, you know, I know.
I put you like this, man. You know, when I go out and I meet a girl, we kicking and we're talking. You know, she looking super sexy, got everything, you know, sitting up tight and right, smelling good, all that good stuff. And I would be hesitant to tell them my profession. I was a hospice chaplain for a while, and it was like a change of demeanor. And I would tell a minister, it's a complete change of demeanor. I think we've gotten into a sad place of our faith and spirituality where we judge a person based on if they're out for 3 or 4 hours with their friends. It's ludicrous, you know. A lot of people hold us to a pedestal where they themselves cannot hold themselves to, but also there's a huge misconception and misunderstanding of pastors and ministers as people, you know. And a lot of this, you know, going back and going out has a lot to do with our history and our culture, you know, Sunday and Saturday separation, separating spirit from the body and whatnot. It goes back to the blues clubs, the juke joints. I mean, that's a tradition that'll probably always carry on. I think it's pretty asinine, you know what I mean? But I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit later. But I'm used to it, you know. But what I found is that if I wasn't in the ministry, I probably would not go to church because a lot of the preaching that I've encountered outside of the church I was formerly at does not appeal to me. And so I've been able to reach our generation. In our generation, we all hang out together. And those are the people who really don't go to church. But when I get up and preach, they all at church. You know what I mean? I'm more concerned about reaching somebody spiritually, no matter where they are. I've done so much work, community settings, hospice, hospitals, nursing homes, on the streets, everywhere. But nobody sees that, you know. And the work we do is very important. You know, you have to have a lot of compassion and faith and integrity to do it. But I bet you a million times over, the average person cannot handle what we do on a daily basis, cannot deal with the situations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of the day, when it all hits the fan, first person they call is us. You dig what I'm saying? When you're dying, on your deathbed, who's there? I am. So, I mean, those are things that's important in life. I mean, going out, kicking it is not the important thing. The important thing is your family, making the best life you can make and getting closer to God or Creator as best as you can. We're focusing on too much. I really want to curse, but I can't curse. We're focusing on too much BS. You know what I mean? And I just think it detracts us from the true reality of what we're supposed to be about.
Right.
I mean,
And to be clear, you can't curse because we're keeping this podcast curse-free, I usually do.
Man.
So, you know, that don't got nothing to do with, you know, some doctrine, some spiritual doctrine.
Somebody would say, yeah, whatever. If I meet you, I guarantee you, you'd be trying to holler at me. I'm not trying to be cocky.
Right.
I'm just being honest.
Right. No, but no. Nah, I mean, I feel like, you know, this isn't even about you being my boy. And I knew you before you were ordained. I knew you before you know, I think I knew you when you. Your calling came when we knew each other or before that?
It came, I feel like it really showed, the end of our freshman year is when it really kind of hit me, like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Right. Because I remember when you changed your major and you changed your direction of study and everything like
trying
that.
Trying to figure out,
Right, and it was all to kind of, so, you know, I've known you for a while, and I know, and you never really changed who you were as a person, but I've always said, like, and I think all of the fellas agree, if we had met more brothers like yourself, or there were more brothers like yourself in church, there would be more brothers in church. And I think that, and then I wanted you to talk a little bit about just like dating as a man of the cloth, because I feel like, you know, Pete, I feel like, you know, there's two things I've said about you. You're a good guy, you know, and then you're a pastor. But you should not be dating him just because he's a good guy. You should not be dating him just because he's a pastor. You should be dating my boy because he's my boy and he is who he is. But, you know, talk about who you are as a person versus what you do for a living.
As a person, I mean, I don't want to be cliche-ish, but I am just because I'm laid back. Exactly. I try to be humorous and laugh constantly.
Right.
I try to be nice, courteous, respectful. I like to act ignorant. As you know, we act ignorant from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I love to kick it, just chill. I mean, the normal stuff any guy likes to do. And I love spending time with my boys, of course, and with my family. With my puppy too. That's the important, regular, everyday things. As far as my career goes, it's pretty much the same. In my ministry, I try to, the best healing I've learned, especially when people are close to death and just issues, is humor, you know. So I try to be humorous to make people feel comfortable and loosen people up. I try to be as compassionate as I can and practice empathetic listening. And the best thing we can do as ministers, even people in communications, is learn how to listen and process to understand where people are coming from, but also to give them the opportunity to get off of their chest what they're dealing with in their own personal lives. I'm patient. I'm kind. I know when to be stern, you know, especially when you're dealing with people who have concerns or theological issues, you have to be really, really patient and not be defensive or impress your view on somebody else. The goal is always to bring it back to Christ, to the idea of love and unconditional love. And I try to center my ministry on love. And let me just say that I'm less of a religious person, way more spiritual. I'm a student of religion. I mean, I could have been born anywhere and been the religion of that culture. And that's something I try to explain to people from explicitly and very blatantly. It just so happens I was born in a Christian society. You know, I read all religions. I try to follow. I try to take from different faiths to apply something to mine, because ultimately the goal of religion is to bring us closer to the Creator. And I model it like a pyramid, where each step out of different religions, as you get deeper into it, deeper into your spirit, deeper into spirituality, the peak, the apex at the top of it is God. So it's like the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid with the eye on it. It's kind of like the same, to me, the same idea. But I just want people to know that I'm not a religious Bible thumping, whatever. I'm super liberal, super to the left.
Well, I mean, all of that to me just sounded boring. So people now might think you're boring. You got to be careful, because I think people just go to sleep. But no, I'm just kidding. Like, real talk though, I think you broke it down, and I think anybody that has any further questions in regards to, you know, how your life, just how you balance the responsibilities of being a pastor and being an everyday person. If anybody, you know, whoever gets the privilege of getting to know you better will learn more about that, and you can go ahead and explain it to them. But I wanted to get back into, you know, some of the other stuff. Talk about what kind of dude, you've been in relationships. You know, I explained, you know, you're down to do long distance for a while, as long as it's building to something. But just, you know, I'm gonna tell you, and I'm gonna tell the people out there, that I've always felt like, you know, you were probably the nice guy out the crew, and that's no knock on you, but that's just, you know, what it is. Like, you always seem to just, you know, it was always us that was trying to get you, not to be more mean or anything like that, but just to care less. Because I always felt about whoever, you invested a lot into your relationships. And, you know, we would just be like, yo, you got to be careful with that. But, you know, I think people like, I don't know. I'm just trying to say it in such a way where it's like, you are at this point where you're ready to get married. But I always kind of felt like maybe you weren't always ready to get married, but you were always down for a commitment. That you're not really one for that gray area, that in-between area. So talk about what kind of dude you are when it comes to dating and relationships.
That's a good question. It solely depends on the woman. And, you know, what she gives to me, I give to, you know, of course. But I'm very caring, very loving, generous. I try to my best to listen and to address any concern or any issues that come up.
You said that you try your best to listen. Would you say that that's a weak spot, though? What would you say are your weak points?
Listening, actually. And that's something I've been trying to focus. Like, I'm good at listening when it comes to, like, pastoral counseling, but in relationships.
I hope so. God.
Yeah, Negro. But in relationships sometimes, you know, it's not that bad, but I'm the type of person, if you're not explicit with me with something, I'll totally miss it. And
You're not a read between the lines type of dude.
It depends. Like, when I didn't have as many responsibilities, I would try to figure out, oh, man, what is she really trying to say? She think now I just care less.
State your purpose.
Yes, I mean, state it. Tell me what it is. I'll do the best to address it. But just, you know, say something, get mad and pissed off all night and be mad the next morning is like the turnoff. And it gives me In my mind, I have like a logbook, and it asks a logbook reasons why I should stop dating you. That's one of them. Things like that annoy me, and it annoys me. And it also takes away from the quality time we can spend together. All that, you know, it's like, man, just say what you want. That's called communication, and effective communication, actually.
Right. Say what you want. Say what you mean.
I mean, just say what you want. Let's move on.
I agree. And you know, you have. I think you're a laid back dude. And I've, and this is probably the third or fourth time I'm going to say it in the podcast. You're a nice dude. Do you think, though, that people get that twisted? Do you think that people?
I mean, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I feel as though I've been taken advantage of in some instances, and people in this field that we're in, well, us who are ministers and pastors, we can care too much, we can be giving too much, and we can easily be taken advantage of because we don't like saying no to help people. And that's why it's important to have good friends, good members of your congregation, but also a good mate, companion, and kind of be a bodyguard in the sense of saying, look, you need to stop. Don't worry about this, don't worry about that.
Right.
And that's the importance. You can be a good wife, but it takes a special kind of woman to be a first lady as well. And I try to tell people, you know, it's a calling. Everybody's
right. Right.
I mean?
Well, yeah. That's for the women that make it to the next phase. You know, you got to really think about that. And I think some people have expressed concerns in the comment section about that, in particular. You know, some people that are familiar with.
I mean, even as a girlfriend, mm-hmm. man, stuff that comes along with that too is duties and responsibilities.
Right.
That you have
right.
to accept.
Duties and responsibilities. Hear that? Duties and responsibilities. Understand that, ladies. Understand that.
Yeah.
Anyway, excuse me. One thing I did want to clear up, because we're almost out of time here, and I hope we cleared up a lot. I'm going to say this, but I need you to, like, you know, whose idea was this? This whole crazy idea of putting the search for your right. It was my idea. And I think that, you know, we the question that people have been asking me a lot is, well, you know, and I address this in the thing, but it still comes up, like, well, why does your boy need help? You don't need help.
Yeah, I mean, let me just go ahead and say this outright. Number one, I am not by any means a desperate man. I've never ever been desperate. You know,
they call me every day before the post. Just don't make me look desperate. I'm not desperate. Yes,
right.
Not desperate.
And our crew takes pride in doing what we do in terms of knowing how to talk to women, knowing how to approach women. I've never had a problem with women. It's never been an issue to me. You know, this is just something. After I got ordained last week, and after this, Joseph said, you know what, I'm going to find your wife. I'm like, cool, knock yourself out. But I still have, like, a nice little starting lineup, and I always have been that way, except in relationships. Let me just say that.
Not in relationships. I know one thing about you. You've always been faithful. I know that for a fact. If anybody knows that their boy has not been faithful, if anybody knows that a man has not been faithful, it's his boys, because his boys going to tell him, you know, about some things that he did on the side or got a corroborated story, whatever. But I've always known you to be a faithful, faithful dude who has never done wrong by his girlfriends, the girlfriends that he's had. So, you know, and you are dating right now. You're dating right now, right?
Yeah, of course. I'm dating as we
right,
speak.
Right, right. So all you ladies out there that are, like, you know, like, expressing interest, no, he already got a starting lineup. So I mean, well, he ain't got the full starting lineup, but, you know, even in your own dating life right now, though, would you say, like, you are taking, like, it's serious for you, right? You're not, like, you are looking to take that next step, right?
I mean, yeah, and I'll have less and less time to really, and that's another thing I want to say. Like, this is also a result of realizing that my time is very limited in terms of what I can what I can do in terms of, you know, with the person I try to give my time to. I try to make it as best quality time as possible. Whatever free moment I have throughout the day, I reach out. I have a lot of flexibility in my gig, you know. But, you know, hey.
say that one more time. I think you broke up there a little bit.
No, I said I have a lot of flexibility in my gig, so I try to reach out as much as I can throughout the day to people to make sure that it's quality interaction instead of quantity interactions. I hate constant, because it just kills. It kills everything for me. I mean, it's, I'm in a good space dating right now. I'm just trying to keep it pimping, and I mean, this is all as a result of Dozen trying to keep it pimping. This is all a result of Dozen, you know, trying to say, you know what, you take care of this side, you know, you got your situations going on here. I'm just gonna help you out on this side because of a lack of time you're about to have. So me,
lack of time. Lack of options, not lack of options completely, but you know, I want to cast a wide net because the stakes are high. I feel like you're dating with a purpose. You know what I'm saying? If I said to y'all, look, I'm ready to get married, y'all. I think that if I got to that point myself, I probably would want the fellas to come in and, you know, yo, give me some referrals or talk to me about some of the women I dated in the past. Which one do y'all like? If I was ready for that. So, you know, this ain't nothing but a friend helping out another friend. You know, we go far back. Our crew goes far back. And, you know, like 11 years now. So, you know, I think that, you know, people think that this is all fun and games and everything like that. And it's no doubt fun. I think that it's a little, you know, hey, it's something different. We're doing something different here, no doubt. But this is all very serious. We're not playing with any of the women and we appreciate it. I know you appreciate it. So, you know, go ahead.
I mean, we've gotten a lot of responses. I want to do say I'm taking things very seriously. You know, people that I guess we don't move forward with, you know, it's nothing personal. I hope that you won't be upset or your feelings won't be hurt. It's just based on...
Man, they don't even know what you look like.
You're right.
Ugly, first of all, so everybody knows, you know.
I mean, it's a touchy thing, though. I mean, people put their pictures and they're like, man... It's based on who the best match. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, I know, but you're ugly too, so we ain't even got to worry about it.
Yeah,
I'm ugly and
right.
So we ain't even really worried about that. But nah, you're right, though. Everybody, I mean, from the very first one, I'm like, whoa, people are actually responding, you know? And I told you, remember, I said, yo, we going to get 10 at the most. And it's been a lot more than 10. So, you know, we going to, and it's going to be sooner than later because we just can't, you only one dude, you know what I'm saying? Maybe one of the other fellas, as one of our other boys suggested today, maybe they could be door number two. You know what I'm saying? But we're not going to keep it up too much longer before we move on to the next. We move on to the next phase, and you start reaching out to some of the women that you're interested in, and everything like that. So you know, we're gonna go ahead and continue to keep this thing moving. But brother, I appreciate you taking the time and talking to me, so I'm going to holler at you later, and to everybody that's been listening, thank you for taking the time to hear me, and I hope that the conversation with my boy, ladies, I hope that encourages you, those who are on the fence, those who have submitted pictures, I hope that this has made you feel better about doing that, and to the haters that just don't still feel like this is all ridiculous, but you're listening to the conversation for the sake of entertainment. I hope you were entertained. We hope you were entertained. So, my man, I'm going to holler at you. We definitely going to talk tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And to everybody else, good night. This is Joe Zen, UntilIGetMarried.com. Take care. All right, peace, brother.